Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Once again this morning, we join with other more light Presbyterian congregations in celebrating More Light Sunday. This is the sixth year that we have done so since I became your pastor. You as a congregation joined the More Light movement by action of the session way back on July 10th, 1980. That's 33 years ago. And you also were the first on Long Island within our presbytery to do so. And also one of the first within the denomination. I state that this morning to indicate that this congregation has been on the forefront of this movement, which has as its mission, and I now quote, the full participation of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered people of faith in the life, ministry, and witness of the Presbyterian Church USA. The theme for this year's observance is singing a new song. It's that challenge given to our Presbyterian Church USA and to all churches to sing a new song about the welcome of LGBT people. It expresses the mandate to sing new songs of welcome and justice and love and adoration. And I trust that welcome came across as we just sang the hymn that declares loudly our openness to all persons. And later when we sing the hymn printed in the insert, guide us to openness. This past week, the stated clerk of our denomination released the 2012 statistics. Once again, the figures have gone down. The total membership at the end of 2012 stood at 1,849,496 compared to 1,952,287 in 2011. For you mathematicians, that means a decline of 102,791 members. And the number of congregations stood at 10,262, or 204 fewer than in the previous year. However, let me bring you a little good news, at least from my point of view. And that is that I noted in last year's More Light Sunday worship service that I indicated there were around 150 More Light congregations. This year that number is up to 199. We have not expanded that much on Long Island, where we continue to have but four More Light congregations. Old South Haven, Merrick, where I served before I came here, Setauket, and Glen Cove. Now, I know that there are other Presbyterian congregations on Long Island that express an openness, but they have not joined the More Light movement. Yes, I truly believe that we are singing a new song in the church today that declares our openness to all persons, welcoming their presence and participation and wishing to minister to their specific needs. It has been a long journey, and the journey is not ended. I've shared with you the story of my raising the matter of the church ministering to GLBT individuals while I was still in seminary and the backlash that that caused at the time. The president at the time of my graduation in 1962 had these parting words for me: "You have done irreparable damage to this community." End of quote. Now, as you know, this past October, the seminary awarded me the Unitas Award for Distinguished Service, recounting that event in 1962. And my ministry and the program of both campus ministries and local church ministries in which I've been involved, affirming all individuals. Today, in the Presbyterian Church alone, 199 congregations that have boldly made that commitment. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered persons serving in the ordained positions of deacon, elder, clergy. Significant progress has been made not only in churches and in seminaries, but in the universities, in the military, in the workplace, and in the society at large. Yes, we've come a long way towards singing a new song. Even though the New York Times carried an article yesterday titled "Fired for Being Gay." Protections are piecemeal. That article acknowledged the fact that there is no federal law that explicitly protects workers from job discrimination on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity. 21 states do have such a law. The journey needs to continue. Every week, our newspaper and TV carry stories of the attack on and sometimes death of gay men. Couple that with stories of the bullying of students perceived to be gay or lesbian in our schools. Couple that with the statement of some pastors of fundamentalist or very conservative churches. Just as one example, Curtis Knapp, pastor of New Hope Baptist Church in Seneca, Kansas, in a taped Bible class said, and I quote, "The government should put gays to death. They won't, but they should." End of quote. Or Pastor Dennis Leatherman. Now that's an interesting name in light of his comment. He's pastor at Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church in Oakland, Maryland. He said, "My flesh kind of likes the idea of killing gays." Or take this statistic. Every year, 500 gay teens commit suicide. While I was pastor at Community Presbyterian Church in Merritt, I worked with a few others to establish a program called Pride for Youth back in 1993, a service and an advocate for LGBT youth based in Bellport and part of the Long Island Counseling Service. Now, I don't have a recent statistic, but I know that, I think it was 4 years ago, 8,319 youth benefited from services provided by that program. And not long ago, I had the opportunity to attend a fundraiser for Pride for Youth and had opportunity to talk not only with several young people who had benefited from the program, but in addition, meet and talk with the parents of several who were so grateful for the organization. Our speaker tonight, Julie Gray Owens, is being honored this coming November by the Long Island Crisis Center, where she will receive what is called the Groundbreaker Award. Yes, today there's reason to sing a new song because we've come a long way as a church and society and being not just more tolerant, a word that I have never liked, but rather be more accepting, more welcoming, more appreciative of individuals who may differ from ourselves. But there is still a road to travel. And that's the reason our session said yes to inviting a speaker to be with us later this afternoon. Allow me to read what I wrote concerning this afternoon's program in the email that was sent out this week. I wrote, "There has been much progress made in society and in the church to welcome gay, lesbians, and bisexual persons into acceptance and participation in the life of our institutions. The same cannot be said for transgender individuals. Our session offers this program as an educational event to try to better understand those whose identity or behavior falls outside stereotypical gender expressions." End of quote. We need to hear their stories. We need to hear about examples of discrimination and learn also about pending legislation which is presently before the New York legislature, known as GENDA, which stands for Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act. We offer this program this afternoon because we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all people. Everyone deserves respect and love for who they are. We as a congregation are committed to building a society and certainly a church where the color of our skin, the conditions of our birth, who we may love, how we worship, how we express our gender do not determine our worth or rights or opportunities. The scripture lesson that Jason read from the letter to the Colossians speaks of the mission of the early Christian community, which is our mission as well. It speaks of followers of Christ as being compassionate, kind, humble, meek, patient. It speaks of letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and in everything that is done. Let it be with gratitude in our hearts, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the message of the More Light movement in this year, 2013. Let me close this morning by drawing us back to those words and our call to worship. We've used this call every year when we've observed More Light Sunday because it offers the phrase that has become the designation for this movement. It reads, "For God has yet more light and truth to bring forth from His Word." As our bulletin indicates, it's accredited to Pastor John Robinson in the year 1620. Those words were part of a sermon given in 1620 as a farewell speech to the pilgrims who were about to set sail on the Mayflower. Individuals who were about to enter into a new venture, into a new challenge in their life. And the poem of Reverend Robinson ends with these words, which I think are so appropriate for the Church of Jesus Christ in the year 2013. The closing words of his poem read, "O Father, Son, and Spirit, send us increase from above. Enlarge, expand all Christian hearts to comprehend thy love. And make us all go to know with nobler powers conferred, the Lord hath yet more light and truth to break forth from his word." Amen.